Hi, everyone.
Okay. Hi.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. This is our final part of this series together. I'm really, really excited for this one. There's a lot of kind of back and forth via email last night between us as we were talking about what we wanted to cover today. And yeah, so for those that may be jumping on, this is the seventh part of a seven-part series that is based on the Ascension, the seven pillars of Ascension in a course that you, Ceres, created called Ascension Essentials. And so what we've been doing is building off of that and kind of expanding from each of the pillars that you outline in the course and just having some relatively organic, candid discussions about those topics and how they apply to what's happening right now, because there's so much happening right now. So this one is kind of the culmination and the beginning, you know? And yeah, maybe Ceres, you could share just a little bit about maybe what's happening, if there's anything highlighted for you astrologically, and or anything you want to share about the course.
Yes, thank you. Well, again, in a different way, but continuing with what's been remarkable, this whole series that Sina and I have done, building on the Ascension Essentials course, is that the timing of building on work that was already done, but the timing of building on it now, the way it's syncing up with what we're doing currently is absolutely phenomenal. So the seventh part of the Ascension Essentials course is ascending with the earth. And it's kind of a culmination of what the course works with, because it connects all of those other essentials of ascension to a whole bigger scope of what we're doing. It's still absolutely personal, but it expands the scope of ascension to the planetary scale. And that's so relevant right now, because as we finish February and we prepare to move into March, which is a 3 month, every day of March will be a 3-3 stargate, because we are in a 12-3 year.
Oh, yeah.
So the 12th, numerologically, the year is the 12, and that's a 3. 12 is spiritual culmination, and then the 3 is the physical level of creation. So we are moving into a phase of actively using our spiritual power to live and create here. And we have just been hustling nonstop through the year to open the space, purify the space, shift things around, get ready for that. And March, we are going to be in the entree of doing that. We are going to actually start doing that, seeing what that's like. And we'll be continuing with that for the year, and that's going to be a very strong foundation for then what will be fuller in 2020, but I don't want to get too far ahead. So the seventh part of the course is about what we are doing here on Earth, and how our purpose is part of Earth change and creating and living in a really new way. And that's becoming available in March, like it has not before. So the scope of this shift is really big. I hope that summary was clear. We're shifting into a whole new way of living and creating here in physical.
Yeah, I think, we're recording this February 21st, and we were just reflecting on how it seems as if everyone or many people, many more than maybe normal, are tuning into this feeling that like everything is really changing right now. And, you know, we could go into the numerous aspects and shifts happening with planets and signs and all of that. But I, you know, we also have a lot to cover. So I think we can just acknowledge that there is a big shift happening. And what you just explained with the ending of basically what we're doing in February, I think a lot of people are feeling this just fullness nonstop, from all angles. It's like everything's happening in every area of our life. We're being asked to show up again and again and again in fuller ways everywhere. Like there's not a break, there's not as much time to integrate. And it can be really intense and challenging if we're holding on to this old way of being. And from what I'm hearing from you, it's like this is all happening as planned because it's paving the way for what we're starting to really be and embody be, I guess, in March. And that is, it's almost like it's, yeah, you said it's the entree, and it's like it's kind of like the introduction to what this entire year is about.
March is the introduction to the new era, what we're going to be doing for the rest of this incarnation.
No big deal. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. We've been shifting towards that. There's, you know, there are not these hard divides where now it's happening and before it wasn't. I mean, it's all in, these are the trajectories we've been working with.
Yeah.
But as far as living, applying our spiritual power and authority, that order, that natural, intelligent, incredible, love-based order in our physical, human, daily lives and in how we manifest and create and enjoy ourselves in place of the old karmic designs that we're just really used to. That entire paradigm shift is what we enter into in March of this year, and we will just continue to progress that way very, very quickly through this year.
Yep.
And then 2020 is a different level.
Got it. Okay. So I think it's perfect timing, as we've said already, that this is all something we could not have planned, but it's unfolding with divine perfection. And we're talking about ascending with the earth. And one of the big pieces of this is, you know, what are we ascending from? And what really happened to start all of this? Like, why are we going through this incredible process of transformation and remembering, and you know, what is the point of all of this? What's the point of our incarnation? And so starting with the fall.
The context. The whole context. Okay. So I want to preface what I'm going to say. The fall from grace did not happen quickly. Mm-hmm. There is a lot that can be remembered, that can be useful to remember over many lifetimes and over many, 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 many years. I am only going to touch on a little bit here. Mm-hmm. It's also something that is such a big part of our history. Our personal collective planetary history, and it has been so forgotten that remembering it is not really something to be done all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So going back, many people watching will have some familiarity with Atlantis and Lemuria, these civilizations that were here prior. Atlantis was here for a lot longer. There can be this sort of a partial misunderstanding sometimes that Lemuria was the peaceful, benevolent, more conscious civilization. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily accurate. Lemuria was here for a much shorter time. Atlantis was established for a much, much longer and was actually very, 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 very conscious. Mm-hmm. And aligned with universal love laws and thriving. And that went on for a long time. So the fall from grace is the label that we use for the beginning of a trajectory shift. There were other galactic players involved. I'm not going to cover that here. Mm-hmm. Also, but that does get misused as conspiracy theory stuff on the internet. I would caution everyone when looking at stuff about galactic history for the Earth and the fall from grace and what has seemed to go wrong. If something has a little bit of the truth, we can feel that and it can hook us, and then it might have some other garbage in it. If you look at stuff about the fall from grace or our galactic Earth history online, please see if it feels like love information, if it feels true and clean, and if your heart resonates with every bit of it. Mm. Every bit of it. This information is used part truth to bring in confusion. So if you look at stuff on the internet, if you feel, and this, you know, sometimes we are exposed to some of this and then we're interested, we really need to know, and we get online and we look stuff up and there's some useful information and there's a lot of misinformation. If right. it feels fear-based, if it is encouraging you to energize an idea of enemies, so to speak, and fear, then, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong, but I encourage everyone to check with your heart for every bit of the information. Read it with your heart. Read it with your heart. Trust your body. The memory of this is in our DNA. Mm-hmm. We actually have the memory of the whole fall from grace in our DNA. It's just not active in our minds. So we're really reactivating the memories. We have some amnesia around it. So trust what you feel in your body when you read it. Trust your heart to tell you if it's clean and pure and it's a good source for galactic parts of the story of the fall from grace. Generally mm-hmm. speaking, the fall from grace is when here, Earth civilization, humans, began to use their free will out of alignment with universal love light. And that initiated a trajectory of human stories, human experience, human incarnations, technology, civilization, social structure. It initiated an entire trajectory away from the designs of love light, away from the remembrance of what we are and the truth of everything. Okay, so that's the and it didn't happen overnight. It actually took about 10,000 years for, if you will, sort of a separation fear-based matrix to take hold on the planet. So in our other life experiences, almost everyone here is an old, that would be listening to this is an old soul. Mm-hmm. We have memories of experiences in other lives. Pretty much everyone listening to this has had lives in Atlantis. And Atlantis was like 20,000 years. So, lives in which we knew we lived in the light. We lived in unity on Earth. And then there was this encroach of separation and fear. And there was some type of experience that we had, some sort of trauma, where we're no longer experiencing oneness with Source and with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we have this initial trauma of separation. So we all have these very personal experiences that were part of the fall from grace.
Got it. So just to clarify a couple of pieces. So we, you know, everyone listening has likely lived during this time on Earth. And would you say that was like when that Atlantis and Lemuria were existing in 5D or beyond frequency? Like that was their,
yes.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so, basically what happened, and this actually really helped me when I started to understand this conceptually, was like, when we talk about ascension or the fall, it's like we literally fell from a 5D or above frequency and like down into this 3D separation, fear-based.
Right. It was literally a descension from the unified frequencies that connect us with Source and higher light while we're in form. Mm-hmm. Literally a fall from unity consciousness into fear-based separation, three, two, and one dimensions, cut off from five and up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I just need to say this. I get, like, when I talk about this, it's like nothing else matters. It's, like, so clear to me that this answers all my questions that I've, like, had since a child of, like, why are we here? Why does this feel so shitty a lot of the time? Mm-hmm. Why don't people understand that, like, the way that we're all behaving is completely ludicrous? These rules don't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I always questioned laws and, like, the weird, you know, just everything. This is
right.
Like a little tangent of my own. But, like, I know that this is such a deep, this is the separation wound. This is the longing that we all feel. Yes. This is like, we know in ourselves that we don't have to, we know that there's another way of being.
Right.
Otherwise we wouldn't be seeking anything. We wouldn't be, you know, seeking for spirituality. We wouldn't be looking for our home or like a sense of belonging. Like this is why we feel that, because we remember what it feels like to be whole and operating in universal love and part of that within ourselves and a community. And we're not there right now. And it's really hard.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you said that. So kind of how I see it is that many people here are here to ascend for themselves, reclaim themselves, return, ascend. You know, we fell and then we ascend back up. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. And to do it for self and collective and planet. And the way we experience that, many of us, since we were a child, is just like, this is a big mess.
Yeah.
And I have this just ongoing, you know, like this sort of soul drive that also is, and there's a higher knowing. Mm-hmm. Like this needs to be made right. Yep. This isn't natural. I don't like this and it doesn't need to be this way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we will notice in the collective that some people work to just put that to sleep in themselves.
Right. Well, and that was one thing, like I feel in my own journey and a lot that I witness or support in others is like, we come here, we're like, this is totally just a mess. Like you said, this is just not right at all. I don't like this. And then there's often this really big potentially big or small chunk of our lives where we're just totally resistant to being here. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to know. This is too hard. This is not what it's supposed to be like. I'm going to put it to sleep. I'm going to use drugs, alcohol, party. I'm going to distract myself, you know, all the ways that we know how to escape. And that, I think, is also really, can be really healing, just to be like, wow, there's a really deep wound and reason why I did that for so many years, or, you know, whatever each person's experience is. And there is a really valid reason why that resistance may be here or may have been here. It's like, you know, like, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, my comment in response to what you said is that we come in and we can, even if we don't consciously know what it is at all, mm-hmm. we have this sense that even though it's not how things should be, that it's been a mess for a long time. And that can seem hard to face. Mm-hmm. And also just coming back here again.
Yeah.
When the planet has not been brought fully back into, coming back into a 3D body with gravity to a planet that has not been brought back into alignment with light, it back into the dense, to be a cosmic being and find ourselves, well, we chose, but then we forget. So like when we're in sort of a resistant, more of a resistant, rebellious denial period,
yeah,
preferring to be unconscious, you know, we don't feel ownership of the choice to be here. And that is a real game changer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pretend that it is easy to be a cosmic being. And even though our bodies are changing, to be in a 3D body on the planet in this state. And even when we are just very, very far into our ascension, I would like to normalize for everyone listening. We will not always want to be in such a dense place. Mm-hmm. And we can use that. Mm-hmm. If we fight it, or if we feel guilty about it, or if we feel like that's a problem, then it is a problem. Mm-hmm. We came to light up and lighten up. And things won't feel good and right all the time until that happens. But that can be part of what reminds us why we're here and what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that, so some level of that is really normal, but it's what we do with that. So yeah, we often have periods maybe in younger adulthood where we just want to shut it down or shut it out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What can be really helpful, and the way, you know, some connection with the inherent memories of the fall from grace, is that we have been part of this story for a long time. And even what seemed to go wrong, really, really, really wrong, gives us access to ancient wisdom and experience and tools. Because we have been involved in these storylines, we have access to what is needed to make it right. And that's why we chose to come here now.
Right. Yes. And I feel like I think part of the reason that I wanted to bring in that resistance piece is because I also wanted to bring that to the present moment. And, you know, all the work that we did last year, this year of mastery, it's like, anyone listening, we can choose now. Like, we have remembered and cultivated and done, you know, so much work to be here at this time right now on the planet that, you know, not like the resistance can still be there at times. And it's also like very much an empowered choice that we can make right now to like, just not choose, you know, to choose to be here fully and own our sovereignty and embody our cosmic light and do this work, or there's resistance that we can get stuck in.
Yeah. So something I would like to say to everyone on that note is, even if you have not been actively engaged in an ascension process, or maybe intermittently, maybe you've had some interest, but you don't feel like you've been actively, consciously engaging your path, your ascension, your purpose. If you are listening to this right now and you have made it this far into the video or podcast, you have had many, 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 many lives of preparation. You have already invested and done so much work, mm-hmm. and learned so much and had so many experiences and things that seemed like failures and traumas that when digested and processed become empowering. Mm-hmm. Skills. Anyone that is listening, watching right now has done lifetimes of prep already. And when we open up and engage our ascension and choose to trust our choice to be here on the planet right now, choose what our higher souls chose, that begins to open our access to all of the prep that we've done in other lives. So if anybody's feeling more avoidant than excited, mm-hmm. or ill-equipped, what I would say is that not worrying so much about what the head says we can or can't do or what the planet looks like, but coming into the heart and trusting that if we chose to be here right now, that when we say yes to it, access opens up, mm-hmm. to not just what we need, but to amazing, amazing things that we will be very excited to bring forth and live and enjoy and share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tying it into this pillar of ascending with the earth. So now we have this context, and what I'm understanding is that when we went through this fall that took a long time, it wasn't just the human beings on the planet, it was the planet itself as well. Like we all, everything, including the planet, fell in density. And so maybe you can speak a little bit about how this ascension process has to happen, is happening alongside the earth, like as a being itself.
Yeah. Okay. This is really dear to my heart. So, there's a lot I can say about this. So when we talk about the fall from grace, yes, it is our, experience as souls that we had here on the planet, the human experience, individual collective experience. And it was also the energy field of the earth, the light grid around the earth, and the crystalline vortexes and networks within the earth, all of the things that conduct light within the earth, no longer being able to conduct higher light. So an easy way to think about this is to think about the earth as a body and how we have a body. Mm-hmm. And you know, what it means literally or conceptually when we are running, even just if you think about it, running in lower frequencies, we feel negative, low, heavy, toxic, whatever, mm-hmm. as compared to when we feel lighter and brighter, inspired, flowing, different frequency levels. So you could sort of think of the earth, you know, the grids, the crystalline grid and the earth, the light grid around the earth, those were blocked from running higher light. There are crystalline vortexes all over the planet. And some of those were actually shut down.
Okay, so Yeah, I want to pause here. Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is there were and are like actual beds of crystals deep in the earth. When you're talking about the crystalline vortex or the crystalline grid, is that what you're referring to?
When I talk about the crystalline grid, I'm talking about a network of features within the earth. Mm-hmm. Some of them are crystalline beds. Some of them are huge crystals.
Mm-hmm. Like 20 feet plus.
Bigger.
Bigger, okay.
Yes, and bigger. Mm-hmm. Sacred waters that conduct crystalline light. And other things that you might think of when you think of sacred sites on the planet. So when I talk about the crystalline network in the earth, I am talking about crystals and mm-hmm. other features within the earth that are part of that network that conduct cosmic light through the earth, conduct crystalline cosmic light.
Got it. Okay, I just had this really fascinating insight. So if we're looking at our bodies as a, you know, the earth and our bodies as similar, could we look at ourselves as like the crystals in the earth or an aspect of ourselves? Maybe this doesn't map, but I had this.
Well, it is accurate in a sense, because what we're looking at is sort of the elements mm-hmm. that hold and conduct the higher frequency light and the crystalline light. So you're comparing right. ourselves to the structures in the earth that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Is that what you're wondering?
Yeah.
Well, this probably can go further with that later. Yeah, it's relevant in the sense that you have water mm-hmm. and you have physical structure that in its natural state is partly crystalline and can conduct crystalline light.
Right. Yep.
And okay. that is true for ourselves and for the earth and for areas of the earth, some more powerfully than others.
Yeah. I think the mapping for me was around this. It's like there's a part of our bodies that can conduct this light as the crystals do inside the earth or the crystalline networks. There's like the conduction.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's the similar frequency wise. And this is probably something that could become its own study.
Right.
You know, you could probably say like the pineal gland conducts certain frequencies of crystalline energy, and that corresponds to, you know, the pyramids in Giza or something.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. a similar frequency. Yeah. So there probably could, I have not done that mapping. Maybe you'll do it, Sina. But I know that is, yeah, in a sense accurate, although I've not mapped it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, zooming back out a little bit. So there's, I feel like it's important to share about the crystalline and the network was operating when we were in like Atlantis and Lemuria and at a 5D place. Like, what was that like then?
That's something that I'm actually still accessing. Mm-hmm. I've not brought that back fully, but, I mean, crystalline technologies were used, you know, for, crops. I mean, the water was crystalline, you know, to conduct energy through,
Yeah. Maybe even less specific though, like the crystals, you mentioned that they went dormant.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so like before they were dormant, was this like a huge part of our power? Like, did we work with the crystal beds and the crystalline network in the earth to?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So crystalline technologies were used in civilization and yeah. Yes. Yes, we did. The answer is yes. In prior lives and in Atlantis, and I would say 99 to 100% of everyone listening mm-hmm. has had other life experiences in Atlantis in which we worked with these huge crystalline areas, huge conductor crystals, crystals that had different purposes, healing, restoration, storing records, memories, the crystalline beds. Mm. We worked directly with the crystals in deep earth in Atlantean times. And I believe the Lemurians did this as well. Yes, we had access into them, huge crystalline areas within the earth and towering crystals that had different types of crystals that had different power and different application and different purpose. They were charged. We programmed them. We stored records there mm-hmm. that we coded them, encoded them with records for, you know, New Earth designs, skills, memories, tools that can be accessed mm-hmm. later at the right time.
Okay. And there was, it was like a relationship with the crystals.
Absolutely. 1,000%. Yes. Crystals are, I mean, they are sentient. Mm-hmm. They are sentient. They hold consciousness. We communicate with them. Mm-hmm. They have unique features and purpose. I mean, we can literally talk to crystals. We can work with them. They have consciousness.
Right.
We collaborate with them. That is a live thing. They are sentient.
Yep. So we had this, you know, they were totally, we were all cooperating together. Like they were like, yes, we will store these records for you and you care for us in these ways. And we were just totally, you know, working with them as we would with any other, just another person, for example. And then on the fall, when the fall happened, you said the crystals went dormant.
Yeah. Well, some of them were put into dormancy intentionally because what was coming was known by some that cared for and worked with the crystals. And in the last 10 years, since 2011 or so, well, in this century, but since 2011, there has been a reawakening and reactivation of the crystalline network in the earth. I mean, some of it was already active by degree, but it wasn't fully active. Reactivation of these major crystals, huge mm-hmm. crystals in the earth. They conduct cosmic light in the planet. They work with cosmic frequency love light. So when these huge crystals that we were cut off from and forgot about, but they were also made dormant, as they reawaken, and they've been reawakening with the stargates for about the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. As they reawaken, they conduct light, and that light energizes as blocks are released, because the earth is a body. Mm-hmm. So as blocks and density are released through the earth, more cosmic love light runs through the crystalline beds, through the sacred water sites, through the sacred geometric sites, pyramids, other, you know, sacred ruins that hold power centers in the earth. Mm-hmm. So as these huge crystals reawaken, all of the crystals and crystalline conducting elements are energizing, conducting more and higher frequency light.
Mm-hmm. So there's also a part of this process. It's happening in tandem, and like I don't think one could happen without the other, where we as humans are also remembering the power of the crystalline, the crystals, and the power of the earth, and we're remembering this relationship that we had in past lives. And I mean, many people obviously work with crystals and are already attuned to that. And I think there's this wider awakening in our consciousness of like, oh yeah, this is really important that we consciously acknowledge and recognize and start to like return love to the crystalline networks and the earth.
Right. Yes. It's been known for a while that crystals have different helpful properties, healing properties. Mm-hmm. It is a live relationship.
Yeah.
Any crystal is connected to the crystalline network of the earth. And when we connect with love with a crystal, by degree, that is a circuit that connects with the crystalline network of the earth, and they feel that, and that energizes them, and the love comes back. It's alive. Yes, it's conducting. Mm-hmm. Yes, both ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does this feel like a good time to bring in how our bodies are converting from carbon to crystalline?
Yeah, I don't have all of the biochemistry sequencing for this. Mm-hmm. And intuitively, you know, it cannot be emphasized enough that, you know, we talk about coming into our hearts, trusting ourselves, and we're also talking about trusting intuition. Mm-hmm. And when we trust intuition, we are pulled into a current of evolutionary change. I'm digressing here for a minute, but I'm going to come back. And I read this quote yesterday, may have seen it, but you know, we will sometimes fear trusting our intuition because we have a sense that it is going to pull us into change.
Hmm. Yeah.
And when we do trust our heart and our intuition and that feeling sense, the bodily sense that is part of intuition, there is just a knowing. Mm-hmm. And the more we occupy our bodies and trust our hearts to help us decipher what we're experiencing in our body, the more it will be obvious that, yeah, our bodies were really carbon-based, because over time our higher DNA were shut down and we were running lower frequency light, and our bodies adapted to lower frequencies, heavier, denser carbon. Our higher DNA strands are turning back on as the earth's capacity to run higher light turns back on. Our natural bodies are not this dense and heavy. Mm. They restore themselves more easy. They're more easily, they're more self-sustaining, and that works. And the crystalline, as our cells convert more to crystalline, the crystalline structure of the cells will conduct higher frequency light that carbon cannot conduct. Mm-hmm. And here's a fun, sometimes not fun note. If you just think basically about, well, how does carbon and diamond is the form of crystalline. Mm-hmm. So we are also in our hearts in certain areas, we are incorporating and converting to diamond frequencies and geometrics to conduct diamond light. Mm-hmm. Well, how does carbon turn into a crystal or a diamond? Through heat and pressure. Mm-hmm. So this is a comment on embodiment.
Yeah.
This is a comment on embodiment. Heat, pressure, purification over a good amount of time is how carbon turns to crystalline and then sometimes diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is happening in our bodies in part.
Mm-hmm.
So when we connect with crystals in our lives, just intend to connect with the crystalline core of the earth, with the crystalline mineral kingdom right beneath our feet, with the crystalline potentials, or if it's very pure water, with crystalline water, with crystalline sunlight. When we connect with all of these things, we will surely feel at some point that our cells and chakras and DNA are hungry for this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of the timing, the sequencing, it's all encoded. It's part of the soul plan we put in place for ourselves. When we connect with this light and run it through our bodies and through our cells, it helps awaken our higher DNA strands. It nourishes us on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also supports our conversion back to crystalline.
Yeah, it's almost like it's like we know, and I think most people can relate, like you go on a hike and you feel better. It's like you're in the natural elements. The trees are there. You know, there's plenty of research on this, and we all just know by the feeling of it. And that's kind of how, you know, a way that I could relate to people that may not know exactly what it feels like if we connect with these crystalline elements right away. It's like that's the kind of nourishment. It's very natural. It's very organic. It's like it's our soul nourishment. You know, it's how we thrive.
It brings soul back into our body, and it also allows our bodies to conduct be nourished by cosmic light. Oh. And soul.
Right.
And all, yeah, so there's nothing complicated about this. I mean, when we do this, it reactivates our conscious experience of what's happening. Mm-hmm. But actually connecting with crystalline light and frequencies in earth, water, and sun is not, we don't really need, I mean, there are practices, and I'll offer these later in some form, but intention and willingness really is so much of it. You can just walk around outside with your shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go into your heart and go in the sun and welcome crystalline sunlight into your chakras and your body. Mm-hmm. So it will happen if you're just outside, and when we are intentional, because we haven't been running crystalline light for a long time, when we intentionally invite it into our chakras and cells and DNA, we do have a fuller experience. When I say invite it, again, it's really not technical.
Yeah.
Just invite it and allow it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's so many places I want to go from here. but I do, you know, also just acknowledging that we're, you know, this we can only cover so much, and you know, I feel like this would be a great time to share a little bit about what you're envisioning sharing for your next offering, because you know I want to go into like, okay, tell me more about crystalline sunlight, tell me more about crystalline water. Yeah. Like there's so much here that really isn't that complex yet. The having the kind of conceptual understanding of these things can really help in the connection.
Well, these things are important. They're full. Mm-hmm. Remembering them, reactivating them, engaging them is a very full process that we do incrementally.
Yeah.
So even while conceptually it's very, very simple, mm-hmm. we need a process of engaging this awareness and information and reviewing it to gradually wake up to it and use it more fully remember it. It's very full. Excuse me. It's very, very full. And it can get full quickly.
Yeah.
Because there's so much purpose around it.
Mm-hmm.
So just even what we've talked about already, it just, the space is so very full. I mean, you can feel it because it's, everything is stretching and reaching and activated. Mm-hmm. So yes, this won't be 5 hours. And I was telling Zena that the seventh part of the course, yes, is sort of a next level thing that you can do with the six prior sections.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really entree also to subsequent work, basically what we're doing here right now. And so we're using this seventh ascension conversation as a bridge to an upcoming project that will be in March.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a 3-part webinar series that will explore this in much more depth, and mm-hmm. it will connect it to personal purpose, personal daily practice, fulfillment, happiness, connection with your twin soul within, collaborating with your twin soul for your purpose.
Mm.
Really starting to get how your purpose fulfillment is an essential part of planetary change right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Zena and I are going to do a 3-part webinar series around the equinox, sometime near the equinox. And we are going to go through this with more space and really generous time to explore, and lots of helpful things. We're going to go through this more fully. It's going to be its own section that we'll mm-hmm. do in March.
And it will be, there will be a live recording of it, so people can join live and ask questions and be there with us.
Yes. Please do join us for this. Again, it'll be some time close to the equinox. We will have space for Q&A at the end. 3 mm-hmm. live webinars. We'll do Q&A, or you can get the recording afterwards. Yes. Yeah. So yeah. All of this is very full. And one of the reasons it also feels really full right now is because of the time in which we're talking about it. Nothing is really separate. We're preparing to live and use these things in March mm. in a way that we have not before.
Yeah.
Which is why we can feel the transition, you know, from density to crystalline light, just in reviewing this little bit of information.
Right, right. Yep. So I kind of just want to clarify for, like, let's, in case this is the first part of this series that people have tuned into. So the Ascension Essentials 7 Pillars course that you have created, and you can go back and listen to podcasts for each of those pillars too that build on the course. But that is kind of, it's like, it's the foundational work and the foundational support for this ascension journey that we're all on here. And it will help. It kind of builds up to this 7th pillar of where we are really, you know, co-creating in relationship with the earth and putting our practices and our essences, like fully embodying them and being them, to create the new earth. And so that is really helpful to have this as support. And now we're like bridging into this next phase as we're moving into March.
Yeah, this series, for those of you who have not been doing all the parts with us. Excuse me. This series of ascension conversations that CNN and I are doing over 7 weeks also corresponds to 7 videos I'm doing over the 7 weeks, which all build on the course. And if you you can look at the course, it's a great time to do it still in the early part of this year, if you're wanting to have a sense of what the parts of ascension are, what that means, how you use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the ingredients of ascension that you can work with throughout your days, and how are they part of something progressive? The course really works with those, explores those basic parts of ascension to give you a foundation that you can move forward with. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So these conversations, the videos I've done that over these 7 weeks build on the course. You can use it if you need a foundation or want to energize your path, take it to the next level. But yeah, because I mean, the idea is, I mean, this is it. I mean, I think in the background, a lot of people have had the sense that things weren't going to stay the same, that certain things are dissolving and breaking down, and that there have been new potentials in the periphery. Mm-hmm. I think that people really, whether they're clear about it or not, there's been that sense, some knowing, that what we've been doing is not sustainable and it's timing out. Mm-hmm. And that opens the way for something really, really new and amazing to happen. And this year, really starting in March, is when we begin to work with those gears, see ourselves begin to live it and implement it more directly in our physical human lives and on Earth. I mean, it's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it is. I want to read one little quote that I wrote from you from this part of the course, because it's so sweet. If you could imagine every cell in your body being hugged by an unconditionally loving mother, this is akin to what frequency infusions from the earth do in our bodies. And so that just feels like a really sweet, you know, reminder of what we're doing when when we open to this understanding and remembering that we're ascending with the earth and the earth is ascending with us. And there is so much love and support coming from the earth, and we can give that back, you know, and it's this reciprocal relationship. Yeah. And that the earth is like helping us, very much helping us, infusing us.
The earth wants to support us. The earth wants to collaborate with us, wants the benefit of us channeling light, and wants to love and support us. That's the natural way of being here. Mm-hmm. And you know, the soul of the earth knows what this time is as well. It's not just about being in a natural loving relationship. It's about using these opportunities and, you know, following that quote that you just read, you know, we must include our personal needs and our personal human experience in order to move forward. Mm-hmm. And as humans, even the most loving among us have still, you know, been working with very flawed designs. We haven't really known pure love. Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk about a way to feel connected and supported moment to moment, day to day, mm-hmm. in direct, personal, tangible ways, connecting with, opening to from the heart and receiving infusions of love light from the crystalline earth is just an on hand way to do it. Mm-hmm. And it is pure love. It's pure love as we are right now. Mm-hmm. So it's there for, you know, this is for us also.
Mm-hmm. And it really is so like easily accessible.
It's right there. The earth is saying, please, let me nourish and restore and love you, and then see how amazing that feels and how loved and nurtured and held and stabilized you feel. Mm-hmm. And see how your heart opens and what you want to do with that, because mm-hmm. that's going to benefit all of us. Mm-hmm. Please, I'm here, connect with me, let me support and nurture you.
Yeah. it's really accessible and really available and really simple.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Does that feel complete?
I think that as complete as we can be for this enormous forward moving topic in one conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we covered a lot of what we wanted to share, and there's so much more to cover. So, thank you so much for doing this with me. It's been such a fun journey.
Yeah, it's our last one. Yes. They've had a life of their own. They've been great. Yes. Thanks everyone for joining us also.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Thank you for all your comments and reflections and sharing this podcast series with people. That's really, we want to get this out, you know, like this is why we're here. This is why we're all here. And so just like, that's one of the reasons I think that we're creating all this free accessible content. It's like, just go to the podcast, just watch the videos at least. And at least you'll get like the, you know, some of the information, because it's, you know, it's really just trying to reach and activate and remember on as big a scale as we can. And yeah, stay tuned. I'll be sharing about the webinar that Sarah's and I, the webinar series. And so a great way to connect is on my Instagram at Sina_Maria, or you can subscribe to the podcast, medicineofbeinghuman.com, and I'll be sending some emails about it too. So, but yeah, if you want to, I would highly recommend tuning into that if you want to go deeper on this stuff.
Yes. And in the notes somewhere, Sina, we'll have a link also for the AE course that this work builds on, the Ascension Essentials course, if you want to explore that as well. And so, yeah, here we go.
Here we go. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Sari.
Thank you, Sina.